Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, January 16th, 2024. We'll start with a story titled Painting a New Way Forward, Danville Art League, featuring exhibit by retired art teacher Lori Leonard. This is written by Kegla White. Every child is an artist. The problem is how to remain an artist once we grow up, Pablo Picasso once said. Lori Leonard, a retired Oakwood High School art teacher, agrees with Picasso, and she's found a way to remain a lifelong artist by getting involved with the Danville Art League. While some kids struggle well into their late teens or early 20s to decide what to do with their one wild and precious life, as Mary Oliver once wrote, Leonard knew she was meant to teach art the first day she walked into art class in third grade and met her teacher. She was a magic, mythical creature, Leonard said. I still remember going, this is all you do? You get to teach art all day? I couldn't believe that she was paid to do something I love to do every day for free. So I set my goal on being an art teacher. Since her art teachers throughout her school years in Galesburg attended Eastern Illinois University, Leonard decided to attend there too. After marrying her husband, a master gardener from Georgetown, Leonard moved in the area and made a career of teaching art for the Oakwood School District for 34 years. As a child, Leonard started by drawing sketches with crayons and pencils, eventually graduating to painting and acrylics. Though she continued creating art throughout her life, her personal artistic journey largely took a back seat while she taught her art classes. Leonard's life and art took a challenging turn when she was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2024 after a surgery to remove her lymph nodes. Leonard awoke to find she's lost use of her left hand, her dominant hand. I couldn't lift my arm to my waist. I couldn't hardly hold it, Leonard said. But as always, she learned to adapt. Because my family was right-handed, I had learned to use the computer mouse right-handed. So for therapy, I would just do little sketches, just trying to get a handle on things, she said. While she regained control over her left hand 3 years later, Leonard gained a new skill from the experience, creating tessellations, made by drawing a repeating pattern of shapes that fit together like a puzzle piece. Tessellations require a steady hand. I found a video on it and started teaching it in class, Leonard said, adding that her advanced students would often come up and demonstrate the skill while she lectured alongside them. Then that was good therapy to regain use of my hand, and it kind of switched my directions for a while since my drawing skills had to be basically relearned. When she retired in 2015, Leonard built a studio on her property in Georgetown. I call it my playhouse, she said, smiling. The art room is my happy place. It's sunshine and puppy dogs all the time. As much as she enjoys having space and time to recreate her own art, she missed teaching. Retirement was tough because I loved my kids. I loved teaching and being in the classroom, she said. All these years later, she still runs into previous students who thank her for helping them develop the appreciation for art. They say, "You made it fun. You made it so fun. You were sneaky, and I like sneaky learning," she said. "I want them to learn, but I don't want them to feel like it's a burden. Learning should be fun." Leonard began inviting friends over to paint with her, some of which became her students. Today, she enjoys teaching private art lessons to a few people, something she credits with giving her the chance to create more of her own art. "That also helped me to get into my studio more and really start taking my sketches of these little tessellations and taking images that I had photographed or whatever and really starting to work with them," she said. These days, Leonard finds inspiration in spending time with her grandson and grandpuppies, as she calls them, and enjoys working with charcoal, acrylic art, colored pencil, and more. Recently, she began gravitating toward creating more portraits and mandala.pieces, a skill she learned during the COVID-19 pandemic. A longtime member of the Danville Art League, Leonard only recently increased her participation as retiring gave her more time to dedicate to the local art community. Leonard's art exhibit, Visual Echoes, is currently on display at the Gary Brummagem Gallery in the Danville Art League building, located at 304 North Franklin in Danville. It will remain there until March 22nd, with an artist reception planned for Sunday, February 16th. Established in 1938 by Van Kiesling and Professor John Rauschberger, the Danville Art League started with just a handful of artists working together. After a brief pause during World War II, the gallery reopened in 1947 and has remained open since. Today, more than 100 volunteers work together to keep the building running, which houses the gallery as well as several classrooms, a basement studio featuring a full pottery studio, and guidance from Jim Sheehan is available for use by paying members, a $35 yearly investment. Aside from featuring an exhibit by a new artist every quarter, the Danville Art League also hosts various art classes. Their class for children in first to sixth grade meets every Wednesday from 4 to 5:30, while their advanced teen classes have not yet begun this year, but are coming soon. Retirees and others who may be just beginning to explore their creative side also have a home for the Danville Art League in their weekly Late Bloomers class, held on Tuesdays from 1:30 to 3:30. All classes last 8 weeks and cost $60 with all supplies included. As part of the monthly evening class offerings, Leonard teaches two or three color splash parties every year, with one coming up in March. These parties feature instruction by experienced artists and are designed to enhance the creative experience. The next color splash party will be hosted from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Thursday, January 23rd, by Art League member Eleanor Wesch, who will be demonstrating how to paint a cardinal on a winter tree branch. Though the Danville Art League is only open to visitors on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings from 9 a.m. to noon, appointments are also available by calling 217-442-9264. Those interested in volunteering or becoming a member may contact the Art League Secretary, Mary Martin, by phone or by email at thedanvilleartleague@gmail.com. And there's a picture of Lori Leonard stands next to her art piece, Inner Goddess, which is currently on display in the Paul Brummagem Gallery at the Danville Art League as part of their exhibit, Visual Echoes. The exhibit will run until March 22nd. Next story is titled Indiana House GOP to Consider Illinois Secession, Indiana and Illinois Capitol Chronicles. Indiana House Speaker Todd Huston wants the nearly three dozen Illinois counties that have voted to secede to consider redder pastures. Among those two, Among those two counties that border Vermilion County, Iroquois County to the north, and Edgar County to the south. We think instead of succeeding and creating a 51st state, they should just join us, Huston said, while introducing his priority legislation, House Bill 1008. We match their priorities, their interests, and we're excited about having the convention this year, the Republican from Fishers, Indiana, told reporters and to all of our neighbors to the west. We hear your frustrations and then invite you to join us in a low-cost, low-tax Indiana. Huston's bill establishes the Indiana-Illinois Boundary Adjustment Commission. The group would have five appointed Hoosier lawmakers and five appointed from Illinois. After naming Indiana's members, newly inaugurated Governor Bill Braun would have to notify Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker that he's appointed members. The group would hold its first meeting within 2 months of Pritzker's picking members to represent Illinois. Swapping states, however, is unlikely. Illinois would lose federal funding, and Republicans' bicameral minorities further shrink, among other potential prairie state quibbles. But Illinois would need to approve the move alongside Indiana, then it'd head to the U.S. Congress for approval. Asked if his proposal was serious, Houston noted that 33 Illinois counties have voted to secede from that state, with 7 of those votes occurring in the November general election. Look, it's serious because these people have already decided. Voters in Calhoun, Clinton, Greene, Iroquois, Jersey, Madison, and Perry counties voted in 2024 to opine on whether they should consider separating from Cook County to form a new state. Since 2019, at least 25 other counties out of Illinois' 102 have posed similar questions to voters. With the addition to the 7 counties, about 10.9% of Illinois population outside of Cook County will have had the chance to vote on the issue since 2019. In each of the counties that have already considered this, the results have leaned heavily in favor of separation. Between 70% and 83% of voters in those counties favor exploring a split from Cook County, according to Illinois Separation, a group that advocates for those referendums. The proposal faces long odds of ever coming to fruition. It would require action in Springfield and in Congress, and has only happened 3 times in American history. Kentucky broke from Virginia in 1792, Maine broke from Massachusetts in 1820, and West Virginia broke from Virginia in 1863. Additionally, Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul told Jersey County's state's attorney in 2023 memo that he believed counties without home rule powers do not have the legal authority to secede from the state. Considering Governor J.B. Pritzker's comments on May of 2024, it is unlikely Houston's commission could get to the approval they need from Illinois. Pritzker said proposals to consider succeeding should not be on the ballot. It shouldn't be something that's part of the lexicon and discussion of politicians. We're one state, we're supporting each other. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of new outlets statewide. It is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. Indiana Capital Chronicle is part of State's Newsroom, a nonprofit news network supported by grants and a coalition of donors as a 501c3 public charity. Indiana Capital Chronicle maintains editorial independence. Contact editor Nikki Kelly for questions at info@indianacapitalchronicle.com. Okay, there's only one obituary today. Sandra K. Milliken, Nee Grimes, born October 16, 1943, in Fithian, Illinois, passed away Thursday morning, January 2nd, at Cedar Ridge Nursing Home in Lebanon, Illinois. To acknowledge Sandy's love of animals, memorial donations are suggested to the Humane Society of Danville, either by mail to HSD 1225 North Collette Street, Danville, Illinois, 61832, or online at www.danvillehumane.org/online condolences may be shared at O'Fallon.com. Family assisted by Wolfsberger Funeral Home of O'Fallon, Illinois, the family will host private services, and she will be laid to rest at Stearns Cemetery near Fithian, Illinois. Next story is titled, Illinois Bill Could Raise Age for Mandatory License Renewal Driving Test for Seniors. This is written by Ashley Soriano, Capital News in Chicago. Older drivers in Illinois could face fewer barriers to renew their driver's license next year as part of the bill that could raise the age for the state-mandated annual driver's test from 79 to 87. Secretary of State Alexei Gilianis announced support for House Bill 1226 this week, joined by lawmakers from both parties. The measure, dubbed the Road Safety and Fairness Act, would impact about roughly 350,000 Illinoisans, according to him. Illinois is the only state that requires a driving test for seniors based on age. Currently, people 79 and above are required to take a road test to renew their license. The proposed bill comes after years of efforts by some lawmakers and advocates to raise the behind-the-wheel driving test age and to establish procedures to report unsafe drivers. Age alone does not necessarily determine if someone should or should not have a driver's license, Gilianis said, whose office oversees driver's license issuance and vehicle registration at a news conference Tuesday. A birthday is not an accurate gauge of one's ability to get behind the wheel safely. Other drivers tend to have lower crash rates, according to the state data. That's older drivers. In 2023, the crash rate for drivers age 75 and above was 24.61% per 1,000 drivers, which was lower than any other age group, according to the Illinois Department of Transportation. The low crash rate has been considered consistent since at least 2018, according to the Secretary of State's Office 2023 Study on Age-Related Driving Abilities. The crash rate is more than double for many of the other age groups. I think about my mom. I don't think my mom would admit she's a senior, but she's someone that is very much a safe driver, said State Senator Ram Vilivalam, Democrat from Chicago. I can't think of someone that's more of a safe driver. This legislation is removing the archaic requirement and doing so in a very balanced way. Vilivalam, chair of the Illinois State Transportation Committee, said the road test is the number one issue seniors reach out to his office about in districts, which includes Chicago. Next story is titled, Driver Leads Danville Police on a Chase. Around 4 p.m. Tuesday, January 14th, a Danville police officer stopped a vehicle in the 200 block of West Williams Street because of alleged equipment violations. During the stop, a DPD K-9 officer arrived and ran a K-9 around the vehicle. The K-9 alerted, which gave officers probable cause to search it, according to DPD Deputy Chief Terry McCord. The driver was identified as 47-year-old Jamala Thomas of Danville. Thomas was ordered out of her vehicle and instead of complying, chose to place the car in drive in order to flee and elude the police officers, McCord said. A pursuit took place, eventually leading officers to an address on Shady Lane, where Thomas parked her vehicle and was arrested. Police say officers located a controlled substance in the vehicle. DPD officers, with the assistance of Vermilion County State's Attorney's Office, obtained a search warrant for the residence. Inside the residence, officers found an illegal loaded firearm, McCord said. Police charged Thomas with aggravated fleeing and eluding, possession of a controlled substance, and an aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. If anyone has information to provide for this incident, contact the Danville Police Department at 217-431-2250 or Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at vccrimestoppers.org. Use the P3 Tips mobile app or call anonymously at 217-446-TIPS 8477. The Danville Police Department reminds the public that all subjects arrested are considered innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. Slow news day, so we'll click on an editorial here. Carter was our best ex-president. Jimmy Carter spent 4 years as president of the United States and 44 years as ex-president. it's his extraordinary career as our former president that we are most likely to celebrate. Prior to Carter, former presidents were likely to go off to a comfortable retirement. Carter, who died last month at the age of 100, changed the pattern. He gave us a new model for a vigorous and productive post-presidential life, one that former presidents are now expected to emulate. Together with his wife, Rosalyn, who deserves a great deal of credit, Carter traveled the world and worked tirelessly to resolve conflicts, eradicate disease, and alleviate suffering, work that earned him the Nobel Peace Prize in 2002. As President Joe Biden said, Jimmy Carter stands up as a model of what it means to live a life of meaning and purpose, a life of principle, faith, and humility. It's surprising in some ways that this is the case. When he left office after losing a landslide 1980 election to Ronald Reagan, he was widely regarded as an ineffectual leader. Running for office, Jimmy Carter was a marvelous, down-to-earth campaigner. He was a Georgia peanut farmer with an all-shucks simplicity that appealed to the average voter. In fact, he was smart and sophisticated, a Navy officer and a nuclear engineer with widespread interests. Many people underestimated his sharp analytical intelligence. Carter had a real ability to connect with audiences. I remember watching him speak and hearing the crowd erupt with shouts of "Sock it to 'em, Jimmy," well before Donald Trump he ran against Washington and appealed to Americans' distrust of the establishment. His political career embodied the distinction between campaigning and governing. When he shifted from the politics of attacking government to the politics of running the country, something didn't click. Although his Democratic Party controlled the House and Senate, he couldn't translate his campaign skills into getting things done. He remained a Washington outsider and never mastered the language to communicate well with those of us who were in Congress. It didn't help that the economy was in a slump. In 1980, inflation hit 10% and interest rates 18%. Carter's calls for patience and austerity didn't land well. The Iran hostage crisis was a serious blow, and a hostage rescue attempt that Carter approved ended in tragedy. On the positive side, Carter's presidency brought lasting gains in energy conservation and environmental protection. Two cabinet departments, education and energy, were created. In foreign policy, he signed the Panama Canal Treaty, normalized relations with China, and prioritized human rights. The Camp David Accords of 1978 were his major foreign policy success. Over 2 weeks at the presidential retreat in Maryland, he worked with Egyptian President Anwar Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin to hammer out an agreement. His attitude was, "You're going to sit there until you get something done." The parties knew he meant business. Obviously, the agreement didn't bring permanent peace and stability to the Middle East, but it showed that the parties could talk and make progress, psychologically as well as substantively. It was a noteworthy effort in the history of our diplomacy. Subsequently, the Carter Center in Atlanta, which Carter founded after leaving office, has mentored elections in 40 countries, strengthened human rights standards, and facilitated peace talks. It's established village-based health systems in Africa and led a coalition that effectively eradicated Guinea worm disease. Carter led these efforts while living modestly in Plains, Georgia, teaching Sunday school at a local Baptist church, and with Rosalyn volunteering each year to build houses with Habitat for Humanity. When Carter was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, a member of the Prize Committee remarked that he may not have been America's most effective president, but he was certainly the best president best ex-president the country ever had. That was 22 years ago, and it remains true today. Next story is Danville School District number 118 reviews parent-student handbook. Danville School District 118 has begun the process for the annual review of the ownership and education handbook for students and parents. The meetings are open to the public and the community is welcome to share in the review process. The schedule of the ownership and education meetings is as follows. Tuesday, February 4th from 4:45 p.m. at North East Elementary Magnet School at 1330 East English Street. Tuesday, March 4th at 4:45 online. Tuesday, April 15th is online at 4:45. And to access the 2024-25 Ownership and Education Handbook and the meeting link at www.danville118.org/OIE. Next story is titled, Bingo Comes to First Fridays. Winter Bingo is coming to downtown Danville. February's First Friday event will begin Bingo February 7th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Masonic Temple at 109 West North Street. The family-friendly event will feature crafts, snacks, and hot cocoa. There will also be prizes for each round of bingo. Two grand prizes will be given away. These prizes are a Blink camera security system and an Apple iPad. There will also be 50-50 raffle. Reserved tables are full, however, walk-ins are welcome to jump in and compete for a chance to win prizes. To play bingo rounds on the day of the event, purchase one card for $3 or 10 cards for $5 with cash only. Okay, we'll run through the community briefs. DACC Board to meet. The Danville Area Community College Board of Trustees will meet Thursday, January 23rd at 5 p.m. in the boardroom of Vermilion Hall, room 302. The college is located at 2000 East Main Street in Danville. Chicken noodle dinner planned. The Fountain County Old Guard VFW 2395 Auxiliary will host a chicken noodle dinner for the public Friday, January 17th from 5 to 7:30 p.m. EST time in the post located at 1212 Liberty Street in Covington. The meal will include chicken and noodles, mashed potatoes, corn, rolls, dessert, and a drink for $12. The cost of veterans is $9. And Airport Authorities Move Meeting. The Vermilion Regional Airport Authority has moved its regular meeting from January 23rd to January 27th at 4 p.m. at the Veteran Regional Airport Authority Regular Board Conference Room. Just a minute left, so run through the lottery numbers. Illinois, pick 3, midday, 978. Pick 4, midday, is 9610. Lucky day, 10, 23, 32, 33, and 42. Lotto jackpot was $8.9 million. And Indiana lottery on Thursday is daily 3, midday, is 685. Daily 4, midday, is 1708. Lotto jackpot is $37.8 million. Powerball jackpot is $303 million. And Mega Millions jackpot is $113 million. Wouldn't it be nice to get that? Oh, that's pretty much it for today. Looks like it's going to be a nice day. Maybe get some snow and rain this weekend. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, January 16th, 2025. Hopefully you all have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Try to stay warm out there because it is freezing. So take care. Have a good week. See you later. Bye.